broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby, live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is indeed the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen, for March the 7th in the year of our Lord, 2018. This is hour two of two, with the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Now, for some strange reason in America, if I want to interview somebody, then they say, if I interview somebody that's, let's say, somebody they claim would be a racist, if I interview that person, then I'm a racist too. It's bogus. It isn't true. That's the problem in America today. But they can interview somebody, and then I bring that up, and they're like, well, I'm a journalist. I'm just doing it for journalistic integrity. Okay, and they play all these games. Well, I like to talk to people of all walks of life. And I agree with some people, and I disagree with others. And, well, some people I agree with a little more than others, and other people, and vice versa. I'm sure some people agree with me a little more on some things I say and not on other things. And that's the genius of America. That's the free interaction, free association that America should be known for, folks. Well, the reason that I bring this up is I want to have an incredible dialogue with Becky Akers today. She is a well-known anarchist. The sad part is the mainstream press has done such a disservice to the term anarchist that you believe it's just somebody that wants to just like rabble in the streets and doesn't care about any laws or any system of order and just wants just mayhem everywhere. But it isn't what a true anarchist is. You know, the joke is between a libertarian and an anarchist, what does it take to go from a libertarian to an anarchist? And they jokingly say a couple of election cycles. You find out it's a sham. And you lose your trust in government when you watch that process all happen. I digress, except to say that I want to learn what a real anarchist is. Not somebody who rejects all rules or all common sense and order. A real anarchist, and Becky can explain more. I don't mean to put words in her mouth, but I want to kind of articulate a little bit of my understanding. A real anarchist is somebody who says, hey, government is force. We don't want it. Government is out of control, and every time you give government an inch, they take a mile and they just destroy anything good that could come from it. And they do it so often, history is replete with the reality of this, to the point where we believe there's a better way. An anarchist would say we appeal to, in Becky's case, God's law, and there will be order by good people living good lives and putting private sector solutions in place by contract or by agreement to solve all their needs. They'll do so in an appropriate way. They'll hire security if needs be. They'll do it, but it'll all be privately done via contract, not by via force. And they'll do it with great intentions. If they've got a problem, they'll get together and collaborate and solve it. If they disagree, they'll go their own ways and solve it within their own spheres. And there will be organizations to resolve these things. There will be it's kind of like the free market of it or the free enterprise system. There will be a way for it to be worked out, folks. And the less you have interference, the better. Becky Akers, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thanks so much, Sam. It's always a pleasure and a privilege.
All right. Let me ask you, have I captured that fairly or have I misstated?
No, you have an excellent grasp of what anarchy is. I have never researched exactly how the word was taken so off track. So I haven't done straight research on this, but things I've read here and there have led me to believe that in the early 20th century, the media began calling communists anarchists, because theoretically Marx says communism will lead to a stateless society. Now, this is total bunk, just as everything else Marx wrote was total bunk and is very evil, because what Marx is positing is that he can change and his philosophy will change human nature, so that if you are a communist, you will work for the common good, not for your own advancement and the advancement of those people you love, i.e. your family. Okay, so you'll work for everyone's interest. You won't care about yourself and your family. That is absolute balderdash. Nobody functions that way, not even the most devout communist, as we've seen from the history of Stalinist Russia and other places like Cuba or North Korea, that the leaders enriched themselves in communism at the expense of the common people, and you need horrific laws with absolute draconian punishment to force people to submit to that. So there's never going to come a time when you won't have an enormous government governing and policing and tyrannizing a communist society, okay? You'll need it for no other reason than that communism is against human nature. You are trying to get people to do something no one naturally does. And the second reason you need it is to enforce the tyranny of the elite on the commoners and keep the commoners in their place. So that's all to say that communism and Marxism cannot and never will lead to a stateless society. But the corporate media that was as corrupt then as it is now just took Marx on faith and began calling, I'm assuming again, I have not researched this, but in piecing it together from stuff I've read different places, I assume that's how the corporate media began calling communists anarchists. And from that, you had people like Emma Goldman here in the United States and other people advocating the violent overthrow of the United States government so that it could be replaced with communism. You had the media calling them anarchists. And that's my theory on how the word got so totally twisted from what it actually means. It does indeed, Sam, mean exactly what you said. It is a stateless society, a society without a group of politicians and bureaucrats ordering everybody else around.
All right. The reason that I bring that up is because I agree with some of the principles that you point out. I agree that government runs amok if we don't absolutely jealously guard it. It's debatable if government could be prevented from running amok. The founding fathers believed to a great degree the morality is what kept government in check. However, a Becky Akers would say, and I have a hard time disagreeing with this, is if you have a good moral people, they can do the same thing with contracts, and moral people honor contracts. Right, Becky?
Yes, and another reason you need morality and a moral people, and we're talking such moral people that, again, I don't think the Founding Fathers' theory could ever be put into practice a little bit like Marx's. I hope they'll forgive me for that horrid comparison. But what happens when you dangle free money in front of most people? They are going to take it, okay? And that is precisely what our communist government now does. It takes from the so-called wealthy, or at least it wants us to think it's taking from the wealthy. It's actually taking from many poor people, too. And it gives it to a wide variety of recipients, whether they're corporations, whether they're people on welfare, whether they're Social Security recipients. A huge swath of our society now, of our country, takes other people's money and doesn't see anything wrong with that because it's legal. Okay,
and it's the quote greater good here, right? It's necessary for the greater good, is what they say.
And that is the primary reason, even more so than abiding by contracts and living up to your word. That is the primary reason you have got to have a highly moral people that will say, I'm not going to take it. It's not mine. I didn't earn that money, okay? I don't think that's ever going to happen. That is just, again, not human nature. Even during the American Revolution and the early years of the country, you had a great majority of Americans snatching at anything they could get for free, okay? And from my historical research, I would posit the early generations of Americans, the generation that fought the American Revolution, and then a few generations after that, a few generations before it, seem to have been among the most moral people ever to walk the earth. Okay, there are huge percentages of Christians. And yet, all you have to do is read the congressional record of the Continental Congress debates, read George Washington's letter, and you will find out how vile and corrupt people were. There was a huge push to supply stuff to the army. Why? Because then you could get contracts with the army. You could get the taxpayers paying for your product, okay? Just read the letters and you'll see the same stuff went on then that went on now. And there was some, quote, charitable, it was tax finance, charitable giving them. You had the same kind of thing where people would cheat and try to get the money. It just, anytime you've got a government, it understands this about human nature, and it will try its hardest to buy votes with your money being given to somebody else. And so far, I can't think of a society where that tactic failed. I can't think of any time when people were so moral that they said, no, I didn't earn it, I don't want it, it's not mine.
And we do these interviews with Becky because, number one, we don't agree on everything. I'm a constitutionalist. Becky is an anarchist. We're different in our approach. I believe that there becomes a vacuum in power, and the Constitution is the vanguard, if you will, to prevent this vacuum from happening where somebody has a greater power. So it's like a necessary evil to some degree. It's kind of like fire. Hey, it's good in the fireplace. When it gets out, it's a problem. Others like Becky would say, you know what? But the problem is, Sam, you can't keep that fire in the fireplace. That's your problem. And they've got a valid point. When people go immoral, bad things happen. If you have moral people, well, contracts will work just as well. And so there's a tough balance here. And my goal isn't to highlight the differences between us and Becky. The reason that I bring this up is so people understand, though, I want to learn, okay? And I believe this is the great forum of ideas. This is talk radio, where we can literally talk about these things and learn what people think and why. And people can make up their own mind if you think I'm right or Becky's right. It isn't an argument. It's merely an understanding that can grow and evolve as we all get more and more knowledgeable, more and more experienced. And that's what these discussions are about. All right. Well, anyway, Donald Trump says tariffs will be done in a loving, loving way. We're going to talk about this, folks, from a constitutional perspective and an anarchist perspective. Y'all can think about it what you choose. This is America, right?
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. Becky Akers with us, ladies and gentlemen. Well-known anarchist. And I want you to open your mind about this anarchist discussion, because it's not what you've been told your whole life. I'm telling you that right now. All right, Kurt. So it's going to be super loving, right, Kurt? Can't you just feel the love, brother?
That's the headline from Breitbart. The headline reads... Trump, tariffs will be done in a loving, loving way. I guess they had a joint news conference. Didn't have anything to do with you know, marijuana. But anyway, they had the Swedish prime minister there, Stefan Löfven. Maybe that's where the Löfven comes from, L-O-F-V-E-N. But anyway, said his tariffs on steel and aluminum would be implemented in a very loving way, is what the president said. He said, we'll have to see when we're behind on every single country. Trade wars aren't so bad. Do you understand what I mean by that? When we're down by $30 billion, $40 billion, $60 billion, $100 billion, the trade war hurts them, not us. You can also take it in some cases. We lose on trade, plus give them military where we're subsidizing them tremendously. So not only do we lose on trade, we lose on military. Hence, we have these massive deficit numbers in our country.
Now, when it goes into the military-industrial complex as his guideline, I get scared fast. Anyway, continue, Kurt.
Well, he says, in other words, I think what he's saying there is, hey, we not only give them a cool deal on trade, then we pay for the military to protect them. But, you know, like with Japan, we've done that for years.
Yeah, so shut that down, too.
He added, we are going to straighten it out and do it in a very loving way. It will be in a loving, loving way. They will like us better and respect us much more.
And, well, he's right about they will like us better and respect us much more if we don't give them handouts. He's got a valid point there. And Donald's got a valid point that this certainly needs to be talked about. And I'm more of a fair trade guy rather than a free trade guy. I don't want to be an isolationist by any means. At the same time, a constitutionalist perspective would say, hey, tariffs are an appropriate way to pay for the proper role of limited government, not on the backs of the American people. And it's a way to, allow folks who embrace the free market to participate at very, very, very low cost to some of the greatest economic engines the world has ever known. At the same time, it's a way to lock people out of the markets that subsidize and do all kind of ne'er-do-well things in the marketplace that violate the level playing field of a free market. That's what a constitutionalist would say, is it's a legitimate non-direct tax that has its place if used carefully and wisely to create fair trade with a level playing field. That's a constitutionalist perspective. Becky, what would an anarchist say?
Well, an anarchist, or I would hope an economist, would have their eyebrows so high they'd be disappearing into their head at all the economic nonsense that poor Donald Trump managed to pack in, or the speaker actually managed to pack into that diatribe. Tariffs. First of all, tariffs are, quote, necessary and seen as, quote, necessary because of what unions have done to this country, okay? When you have a group of people who are illegally and forcefully, I should have said immorally rather than illegally, because obviously unions have been legalized, which should tell us all how corrupt government is.
Yeah, they've been getting special privileges at the trough forever, that's for sure.
Exactly. And when you have a group of people immorally and forcefully using physical force, demanding that they be paid more than their labor is worth, eventually you're going to have to put tariffs in, okay? Because, other countries don't have this same problem. So we can blame much of this on the communism of labor unions, all right? But that doesn't make our response of imposing a tariff moral. What is a tariff? What it's basically doing is saying, okay, since those people in China pay more for their steel than we do, we're going to make Americans do the same thing. Okay? It's just silly. Okay? It's like saying, we've got a rowboat here and you shot a bullet hole through your end of the rowboat, so fine, to get back at you, I'm going to shoot a bullet through my end of the rowboat. I mean, this is insanity. Okay? And again, it makes no economic sense. Let's take unions out of it, okay? Labor is a commodity, like any other commodity, all right? And a country like China that has a tremendous population, a huge population, the cost of labor there is going to be necessarily lower. You have many more people looking for jobs.
In other words, plenty of supply, right?
Exactly. So it would be the same thing if we said that China has a huge deposit of coal. China is going to be able to sell the coal for less than, say, Nevada, which has very little coal reserves, as far as I know. Maybe I'm actually wrong about that. But But because in any country that has very few coal reserves, China is going to be able to get a very low price for her coal, okay? Much more so than a country without it. Do we say that this is somehow unjust and that we have to you know, make the country that doesn't have much coal, we have to do something to them to make them equal to China with lots of coal? It's the same situation when you have labor. And economically speaking, what Trump and his advisors are proposing is economic suicide. It's just absurd. Now, that's the economic analysis. And an anarchist would look at it and say, where do these people get off thinking they can force me to pay more for steel than I'm already paying? Why should I do that? And why is it going to fund an entity, political government, with which I completely disagree? This is why we need to get rid of political government so that it cannot use force against us to compel us to pay more for a product than it's worth.
Now, folks, here's the point. Whether you agree or disagree with Becky isn't the point. The point is there are solid arguments there that must be considered to open minds, that must be really contemplated with and wrestled with. Now, if you're a constitutionalist like me, you would come back and say, hey, a small tariff that pays for the proper role of limited government, in other words, that creates the support of the infrastructure for the United States and things like that so that you can trade with us effectively, and there's, you know, some of the infrastructure that it takes. Hey, there's some legitimacy to some of that stuff. You're not really paying an abuse fee or an unfair fee. You're just paying for the fee that creates the infrastructure that makes it all happen and things. Okay. However, these 25% tariffs or these massive tariffs all relate, these numbers relate to this massive inflation because of dishonest money is where we go there and say, hey, everything's got to be sky high because of this hidden tax called inflation. Then you put a tariff tax on top of it. Tariff and tax is really the same thing, folks. Okay, and then you've got this collaborative ever-destroying of wealth, the real value by this dishonest money, letting the money changers make all the decisions and all the control. And so it spirals out of control because, hey, you're never going to do well when you start out with dishonest money. If you have biblical dishonest weights and measures, you'll never start out making any sense, ever. And it'll never get better from there. So that's the real core that you got to correct, Donald, if you want to get anything done and deal with fair trade. But Kurt wisely pointed out on top of that, hey, what about the billions we give away in foreign aid? What about the military giveaways where we train and arm and fund these terrorists? And then what about United Nations money? Hey, why don't we start there, Donald, if you want to start somewhere? We got a target-rich environment, don't we, Becky?
Oh, absolutely. And again, all of this, every single one of those entities that you mentioned, whether it's military spending or whether it's tariffs or whether it's the UN or whether it's foreign aid, all of that is our money. Okay, government is taking it from us by force. It is. If you refuse to pay taxes, you'll wind up in jail, and if you resist going to jail, you'll wind up dead. Okay, so government is taking it with lethal force from us. That is the definition of theft, when you take money from an unwilling victim by force, okay? The only reason people consider it, quote, moral is because it's legal, but anyone who knows anything about morality understands simply being legal doesn't make anything moral, okay? We look at that, we see that very clearly with the Nazis. Just because it was legal to kill gypsies and Jews and sodomites and anyone else you didn't like doesn't make it moral, okay? We look at it, the Soviet Union, and we understand that locking people up for disagreeing with the government, even though that was legal, was immoral. We need to have that same attitude when we look at our own government. Just because it's legal to steal from us does not make it moral. A tariff is nothing more than naked theft, forcing us to pay more for a product than it's worth.
Kurt, you want to chime in?
I'm not sure what to add to what Becky has said, Sam. I mean, I'm just enjoying the conversation. You know.
Yeah, one of the things that I would say is, you know, a constitutionalist would say, hey, there's an offensive and a defensive role for government. And when government crosses that line from a defensive mechanism, in other words, to stop greater power from taking over, playing an appropriate role of a level playing field and honoring contracts and things, when it's defensive in nature, it's okay. When it moves to that offensive position, that's when we have the the immorality. We'll talk about it.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
When a beer commercial, everyone's happy and they're jumping around or whatever.
The thing is they not only have appealing activities, they have appealing people on there too. You know, you see beer commercials and it's done with natural water and it's cold brewed or heat pasteurized and all that kind of stuff. They make it sound more like a health food almost, but they never show the hangovers or alcoholism or anything like that.
And then in reality, you're happy and then you're vomiting in the bathroom and then you're waking up sick the next morning with a really bad headache.
Any person that says that beer is merely for recreational use is stupid because it's a form of alcohol.
They just want your money. It's the people that sell the product that are getting the most out of it, not the people that use it.
That's exactly what they're doing. They're all sell our beer and it doesn't matter what it takes, just sell it.
No, they're not honest messages. They don't show the flip side of it, the results of alcohol.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, Becky Akers joins us monthly riding shotgun today. Becky Akers is not only a columnist in many places, but she joined us on the radio, great commentator and more. But she's also the author of two incredible books. One's called Hail Storm. It's about Nathan Hale, one of the greatest patriots America has ever known. And Abducting Arnold, the revolutionary new novels. Buy them before they're banned today. But Abducting Arnold gives you the other side of the Benedict Arnold story that you may not have heard in your German history class. I'm telling you that right now. You got to read them, folks. Check them out today. Look online, Becky Akers, and then look for Hail Storm. Or Becky Akers and look for Abducting Arnold. Incredible books available now. All right, so I maintain that there's this balance in the proper role of limited government, which is when government's defensive in nature, honors contracts, has a level playing field, you know what, it can be good. When government crosses that line and becomes offensive in nature as opposed to defensive in nature, we've got a problem. And now it's ill-gotten gains and it's theft by a government gun. And somebody would say, well, Sam, that balance is, an anarchist would say that balance is impossible to achieve, Sam. Every time you look around, they cross that line. Well, it's true. At the same time, I would say, though, that if a vigilant moral population would prevent it, just as easy as a vigilant population could live by contracts. as well. And when the people are immoral, there's no good answers. I think an anarchist and a constitutionalist would agree on that front for sure. But Donald believes somehow he can just, you know, spark off this trade thing and start at 25% on steel. I'm afraid that he's bitten off more than he can chew and it's going to backfire because he's just too aggressive on it, unless it's all rhetoric and he doesn't really do anything, Becky.
It's insanity. It's basically punishing the American consumer because China produces cheap steel. It's just, why wouldn't we take advantage of that? I mean, when there's a store in your neighborhood that's offering a sale on merchandise to you, boycott it and stand up and say, how dare you try to sell us something cheap?
And there you go. Part of the problem has to do, though, when governments go on the offensive role in China and start to subsidize products and violate the free market and kind of create an unlevel playing field. That's a battle in and of itself. But I want to bring this up. Ron Paul speaks of something else that I think is super closely related. Kurt?
Yeah, the headline from our buddies there at MarketWatch.com says, quote, "There's no stopping it," warns Ron Paul. "A calamity could cut this market in half." Now, you know, of course, they say could. You know, he says could, and that's a fact. You know, this story goes right along with what, you know, we're being told right now. The president's, one of his long time, I don't know if you call it long time, but an advisor he's had for a while, the former CEO of Goldman Sachs, Mr. Cohen, has, you know, gone the way of all the earth and moved out of the White House, I guess. And I was just thinking, wouldn't
well, he really know, hasn't gone all the way of the earth because he's still
yeah,
alive.
Yeah, that's right. Correct. He's still I'm alive, but he's moved out. But
politically
or
speaking,
he's on his way out. But wouldn't it be nice if the president just said, hey, now I'm going to have Ron Paul fill in for him. But, you know, anyway, we can hope.
Now, what is this guy, six times globalist or whatever?
Yeah, well, that's the bottom line is, you know, he's tried Gary Cohn, the former, you know, basically big shot at Goldman Sachs, tried for a long time to derail President Trump's America First agenda, you know, with the whole, for example, the war on coal, the attempt to soften Trump's actions against China. He failed effort to keep U.S. in the Paris Climate Agreement. You know, they got a long list of them, but the reason, one of the main reasons that the president was elected, in my opinion, is kind of another Breitbart piece where it says Trumpocrats, which are people that support President Trump and their Democrats, says Trumpocrats victorious as Gary Cohn exits White House. He should go home to the Hamptons and have a martini. In other words, they're just saying, hey, these kind of guys are not really, you know, part of the working class Americans.
Yeah, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. Kind of an idea. Hey, see you later.
Good point.
And, you know, I'm glad that guy's out. I think that guy was an idiot. Don't think he should have been there in the first place. Donald needs to surround himself with good people doing good things. It's the company you keep. It's key. So I think he brought a bunch of ne'er-do-wells. In fact, I think Donald, all he does is talk about draining the swamp, and he puts more swamp critters in there. So I don't know who's going to replace who there. But I do think Ron Paul is right when he says, hey, a catastrophe or something like that could just absolutely devastate the markets. And we're vulnerable to that any time with this inflationary reality check based on fake money that we got going on here, Becky.
Oh, absolutely. It all begs the question, why do we allow politicians and bureaucrats to control the economy and to control our money? Okay, money is simply a measurement of wealth. That's all it is. There's a lot of confused thinking out there about money, but basically money, you know, the cash in our pockets, the dollar bills and the coins, are nothing more than, or they are to wealth what a clock is to time.
It's just a medium of exchange, right?
I'm sorry?
It's just a medium of exchange.
It's just, and it's a measurement of wealth. That's all it is. It's a measurement. Why do we allow government to control this? There have been governments that, they've been very, very rare in world history, but there have been governments that haven't controlled the money. This is a tactic of controlling this measurement of wealth. It's a tactic that the Roman Empire used, and the American government has adopted it, where it controls the measure of our wealth. That's incredibly essential to a good life. Why have we allowed government to take it over? And why is the government entwined in our economy? Anytime we allow that to happen, we are going to be much poorer. The politicians and bureaucrats are going to skim the wealth for themselves, and they're going to leave us very little. Why do we allow that? We've seen it happen with communist governments. Why have we allowed the Fed to attain this kind of power over our society?
And I think it's, you know, when the founding fathers said you have a republic if you can keep it, that's kind of the point that I would, you know, if you can keep it issue is, hey, we've got to be moral people. And you mentioned at the start of the program, people want something for nothing. And when that happens, it's always trouble. For example, President Donald Trump engaged in a good-natured issue of one-liners with the press, right? He went to the, quote, annual gridiron dinner, and he set aside his criticism of the media. He says, nobody does self-deprecating humor better than I do. It's not even close, said the Donald. He skipped last year's dinner, but he said, I was very excited this year to receive your invitation so that I could ruin your evening in person. That's why I accepted. And then he goes on and cracks all these jokes. He talked about Grover Cleveland was the first president to go to this thing. And every president since then has come to at least one gridiron. Anyway, he says, rest assured, this crowd's much bigger than Cleveland's was back in the day. Now, they talked about the white audience, so they try to put a racial divide there, waste of time. They talk about his speech lasted more than a half of an hour and included plenty of one-liners, a sampling, if you will, on his son-in-law. We're late tonight because Jared couldn't get through security. On VP Mike Pence, he says, he's one of the best straight men you're ever going to meet. And, oh, man, he is straight. Further, I'm really proud to call him the apprentice. On Attorney General Jeff Sessions, I offered him a ride over here, but he recused himself. What are you going to do? On the New York Times, he says, you're a New York icon. I'm a New York icon. And the only difference is I still own my buildings. So it was a big old roast on Steve Bannon. That guy leaked more than the Titanic. On the media, and then here's what he finishes with. And I believe that Donald's war with the media is nothing but a concocted, scripted deception. I think Donald loves the media. I think he's in bed with the mainstream press, and he pretends that he's not because he doesn't give us any time. If I try to interview the Donald, he'll just say, oh, I can't come on with a racist. Okay, whatever. They're calling you a racist too, Donald, by the way. But anyway, on the media, Donald says this. I just want to say this. This is one of the best times I've had with the media. This might be the most fun I've had since washing your faces on election night. Trump wrapped up the evening on an upbeat note, Becky. I want to thank the press for all you do to support and sustain our democracy. Well, first off, he swore an oath to a republic, not a democracy. And now he's basically praising the media and a democracy at the same time. Has he lost his mind?
That's just, wow. I don't even know where to get on that.
I mean, it's like, what is it? First off, we don't have a democracy, Becky.
Well, you know, Sam, I would have agreed with you up until a few years ago, and you're correct. Constitutionally speaking, we have a republic, not a democracy, but I think we do have a de facto democracy.
Okay, now I will agree with your point on that fact that we have violated the Constitution so much we have a de facto democracy. I agree with that. My point is that's not what the founders gave us, and that's not what we're supposed to have under the supreme rule of law. However, your point's well taken, and I don't disagree that we've turned ourselves into a de facto democracy because we're violating every check and balance the founding fathers ever came up with. Becky Akers with us. Hold on. We'll have you talk right on the other side. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Becky Akers on your radio. The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Becky Akers with us, ladies and gentlemen. And I am saying that Donald Trump literally thanked the press. I want to thank the press, quote, for all you do to support and sustain our democracy. Now, we don't have a democracy, in fact, although I agree with Becky Akers that, you know what, we've kind of got a fiat democracy going on here. We've got backed into it by violating the supreme law of the land so much it's kind of turned into that. As you were saying, Becky.
Well, yes, you're absolutely correct that constitutionally speaking, we have a republic. But there is such an emphasis now on the popular will. And, you know, basically when the amendment went through that turned the Senate into an elected rather than an appointed body, we were well on our way to democracy. Democracy is a really bad thing. I know we're indoctrinated from year one to believe that democracy, government of, by, and for the people, boy, that's really something mystically wonderful. It isn't. Democracy does not understand or recognize the existence of God-given rights.
And I've heard it said that democracy is just a precursor to demon crazy.
I'm sorry?
The democracy is just a precursor to demon crazy.
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, you end up just getting basically taken over by your own self-absorbed interest. You turn your back on God, and the demons take over, and then it's a survival of the fittest type of scenario. That's what, you know, that democracy is. And the reason that I bring this up so clearly like this is because compared to an anarchist situation or democracy compared to anarchy, under your idea, we would all be honoring contracts. We would be kind to one another. We would be immoral people. And there would be a way to adjudicate these contracts when things went wrong that would make sense. And people would basically not be forced to be part of it, but they would participate. And then I guess the only time there would be force is if somebody was violating the contracts and things like that to a point where there'd need to be accountability. But there would be a much more ordered society than a democracy.
Oh, absolutely, Sam. And democracies, your rights are always up for grab. If enough people decide that you should be silenced, you don't have a First Amendment in a democracy. You're silenced, okay? If enough people decide you should be disarmed, and we're seeing this now, we are seeing this push to disarm us regardless of the Second Amendment and regardless of the fact that being armed is one of our inalienable rights that God has given us, the right to self-defense, okay? Well, we're seeing a huge push in this democracy to take that right away from us. And already, that right life has been taken away from people who are slandered as being mentally ill or people who have been in jail. Their Second Amendment right, the Constitution says nothing about if you've been in jail, that's it, your Second Amendment rights are gone. Okay, it actually says that they shall not be infringed. It doesn't say if you've been in jail, it's okay. No. Even if you've been in jail, even if you are mentally ill, you have the right to self-defense, and that shall not be infringed, okay? So this is what life is like under a democracy. There are no absolute rights, and there are no absolute values. It's all up for grabs. And democracy, I love your democracy, that's wonderful, but democracy has always, in world history, eventually led to utter tyranny. The Founding Fathers abhorred and feared democracy because it's nothing more than mob rule, and that mob rule degenerates to tyranny.
All right, now, in our democracy, they're violating the Second Amendment wholesale, as Becky just highlighted, but they're also violating the First Amendment. If you don't believe us, and I'm not even really a super fan of this guy, although I think he has a right to his free speech, and he can say and do what he wants as well, Alex Jones is experiencing a democracy in its full fury, huh, Kurt?
Well, that's right. The headline from Breitbart says basically, you know, that CNN turns to outright gangsterism to silence Alex Jones. Subheadline, to remove InfoWars and Alex Jones from the public square of YouTube to destroy what it sees as a political foe, CNN has turned to outright gangsterism. There you go.
And who? What's the start of this story say on the headline? It's like, Nolt?
Well, there's a guy named Nolte that's
Nolte is the guy that brings it, right?
That's right. He's you know, basically a Hollywood type, and and Breitbart is citing his phrase.
But I find this very interesting that that's what starts to happen, Becky.
Yeah, this is the end result of democracy. None of us should be surprised by this. You know, and all this reliance on violence is very reminiscent of Weimar Germany and Germany between the two world wars, and we all know what came out of that. So this is exactly how he got his start, was people, you know, he was in charge of the brown shirts, and the brown shirts were nothing more than bullies that went around beating up anybody who didn't agree with Hitler. And, you know, now we're seeing CNN do the same thing with a political dissident, beat him up. So none of us should be surprised.
There you have it. Anyway, I find this interesting, and a lot of people give anarchy a bad rap or anarchist a bad rap. And I agree, if you define anarchy as a democracy, or in other words, those two, in my mind, the funny thing is we act like a democracy is so good and righteous and honorable. And an anarchy is a horrible, you know, just dog eat dog world out there. If you study true definitions in history, you'll come to the complete opposite conclusion, Becky.
But absolutely. And in fact, Sam, a lot of us deal with anarchic situations every day, but we're not used to thinking of them that way. For instance, when you go out to dinner at a fine restaurant, there's no law compelling you not to throw food across the room. Okay? How many of us do? So we all function in different settings, and we function admirably and honorably without a law compelling us to do so. There's no law that says you have to give your secretary a present on Secretary's Day, but many of you do. There's no law that says you have to be kind to your little sister, but many of us are, okay? All of us function without rules and laws to force us into good behavior every single day. And it's very interesting. There have been studies done that prove the less laws and rules you have, the more honorably and the more friendly your interactions with other people will be. Okay, so and there are studies on the other side too, proving that the more laws and rules you have, the more childishly and the more savagely people will act. And we're seeing that in our own society right now, where people have very much the attitude of, well, it's not illegal, so I can do it. The idea of honor, the idea of kindness, the idea of compassion is completely missing from these calculations. It's simply, is it legal? I can do it.
Well, and God gave us only 10 commandments and then left it to our choice, didn't he?
There's another fascinating point, Sam. The Bible as a whole never endorses physical force as a proper response for Christians. Never. Okay, we're all familiar with the pacifists that have arisen, and they almost always base their arguments on the Bible, and they are correct. There is absolutely nowhere in the Bible where we are commanded to, quote, enforce virtue. We are never commanded to treat other people with compulsion. We are commanded to treat them with love, okay? And I, going back to what the headline on the terror thing, we're going to be loving, loving to, that is such logical absurdity. You have compulsion, which is the province of government, political government, and you have love, which is the province of voluntary interactions. The two cannot mix. You cannot have love forced. Okay? It never works. You can't compel another human being to love you, no matter how much you may wish they do. And we all know that.
It's kind of like I'm going to use Satan's plan to follow God's plan. It just doesn't work.
It does not work. And every time Christ was confronted with force, he told the disciples, put up your swords. We don't act like that. There's that wonderful passage where he talks about how the Gentiles lord it over each other. But if you're going to be my disciples, you have to serve one another with love. Okay? Love and physical force are incompatible. We are commanded constantly, love one another. If you love me, you will love one another. There's nothing in there about if you love me, you're going to force everybody else to be good. If you love me, you're going to force people not to take drugs. If you love me, you're going to force people not to drink. You're going to force them not to buy alcohol on Sunday. You're going to force them not to smoke cigarettes. There's nothing like that in there.
Well, and he's nicknamed the Prince of Peace for a reason.
Exactly. Exactly. And we as Christians are called to peace with our neighbors, not supervising their lives and forbidding them with physical force from doing things we don't like.
Well, I'll tell you what, the anarchists and the constitutionalists can agree, too, that, hey, man, democracy is not the way to go, folks. It goes absolutely off the rails, destroys society, turns into pandemonium. It turns into groupthink, and hey, we can get ours if two guys and a girl are in the room and they got bad things on their mind. She's in trouble, according to a democracy. And the reality is, eventually, what happens is that democracy leaves a vacuum, and then tyranny becomes ruthless in its wake. That's what happens every time. Go look at history. I challenge you to argue with me, because it's the truth, and that's something that we really got to guard against. When the president of the United States has sworn oath to the supreme law of the land and a republic, literally thanks his best friends in the press for promoting democracy, he's lost his marbles, Becky.
And you know, the press actually promotes democracy because they know it leads to tyranny. And the press is all in favor of a very, very strong centralized government. So when they're promoting democracy, for Donald Trump to recognize that and to praise them for it, okay, why are they promoting democracy? Because it's tyranny. This is just mind-boggling.
And Donald says he hates the media, that they're the most dishonest people that he knows, and then that's where he goes for dinner to hang out with them and set aside any bantering and literally praises them. I can't get a meeting with a Donald if my life depended on it, Becky, and neither can you.
No, but I will say, in Donald Trump's defense, I don't think that man has an iota of political knowledge. And I mean by that political philosophical knowledge. I don't think he understands any political philosophy. He simply reacts. He's got his own ideas about how things should be done, and that's all. He's a classical dictator in that sense. He just wants to put his own will into law. But I really and honestly don't see any consistency, and I think that's because he's completely devoid of political philosophy. He just does not care about it. And that means trouble for everybody.
Well, we need good, honest, moral leaders who respect the rule of law and who say, hey, I'm a servant under God, and I'll carry out God's will, and I will do my best to have agency. In other words, I'm a free choice guy, except for when it comes to murdering babies. All the murdering babies folks aren't choice for anything else but death. But the truth is, agency is at the pinnacle of importance for this discussion, Becky.
Oh, absolutely. And again, when you've got people in power that are simply governing according to the popular will, or with Donald Trump, govern according to their own whim, we're heading very rapidly towards a police state.
All right, we're out of time. Promote your books real quick, Becky. Where can they get them?
You can get them online. Just Google my name, Becky Akers, A-K-E-R-S, and Hailstorm or Abducting Arnold.
Thank you, Becky. Godspeed, ma'am.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure and a privilege, Sam.
There she goes, always doing a phenomenal job, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever heard the Market of Ideas, the open freedom of exchange and ideas and respect with differing ideas and views coming to the table, as you've seen on Liberty Roundtable? I think it's a model for success. Are other folks doing this kind of talk radio, ladies and gentlemen, where you decide what you think and why? I think we need more of it's all I got to say. For Sam and Kurt and Becky Akers, we thank all of you. LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today. We declare we the people, along with the Christ the Almighty, we can save America. This nation shall endure.